Okay, so I want to say good morning. We're in the book of Jonah. We're on tape, so I got to try to bring everybody up to speed. We are on the new website. We are recording these messages. We left off last week. Where was Jonah? He was in the belly of a fish. Last week, Jonah was in the belly of a fish. And what we want to do is we continue in the book of Jonah. We want to see exactly where this is going. So what I want to do is I want to take the book of Jonah and I want to read it, but I want to show you something that's really important that maybe in reading the book of Jonah you have not realized, and I want to make you realize that this morning. So if you open up to the book of Jonah, we are in, starting with 2 and 10, we're going to start. But before I do that, I want to read the first two verses of Jonah in the first chapter. I don't want to confuse you. I get easily confused, so I know. But I'm going to start, and it says like this. The first chapter, verse 1 and 2, says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Now, that's how we started the book. Last week, we left off in 2 and 10. It's important. "Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up unto the dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time," or the second time, "saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you.'" Now, just for a second, I'm going to read one more verse, but notice the first time he told Jonah, he said, "Go cry against it, for their wickedness had come up before me." Now he tells Jonah, he says, "Go proclaim it, the proclamation which I'm going to tell you." So Jonah arise and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' walk. Now, I want to connect that. There's a connective there. Understanding narrative rightly is so important when we look at this book of Jonah. When the Lord speaks to Jonah a second time, that word means God has given the message twice in the same day. Now, meaning Jonah is back where he started from. Now, we know that cannot be true, because where did Jonah spend 3 days? Oh, very good, in the belly of a fish. Now, but what this is showing grammatically, this is so important, Donna, what this is showing grammatically is amazing. It's actually conveying that what actually happened to Jonah is not remembered by God. I'm sure it was remembered by Jonah, for sure. Now, that's for sure. But God, now listen, God had wiped the slate clean. It's like the 3 days in the fish's belly never happened. The storm never happened. It's just business as usual for the sovereign king of the universe. God holds no grudges. What a link to Christ. You think the Old Testament, I mean, look at what's happening here. Here is a link to Jesus, because when you acknowledge Christ, he wipes your slate clean. Nothing changed but the zip code. So you see, even though this is many, many years before Christ, this points to who? To Christ. And it, grammatically, when you see this, I want to bring it out to you. This is just an important part that God holds no grudges, and it's a look-see towards Jesus who wipes out our sins as far as the east is from the west. Don't tell me Christ is not in the Old Testament, because his fingerprints are there. Or better, his nail print hands are there. In this one verse, in this one connective, Rachel, it shows the grace and mercy of God. We serve a grace and merciful God. Please don't forget that. So for God, concerning his prophet Jonah, he's given Jonah a new beginning. And this is how the narrative reads. He gives Jonah a new beginning. Despite Jonah's self-righteousness, what an act of grace. This is grace in the Old Testament. Despite our self-righteousness, my self-righteousness, we get what we don't deserve. Isn't that how the world treats us? No. No. But again, there's a theological premise here we don't want to miss. There's a theological premise that we don't want to miss. God's will is accomplished despite Jonah's deep-seated, attempted rebellion. God's will was to what? Preach to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm going 500 miles in the opposite direction. So God is on the throne, biting his nails and saying, what am I going to do now? No. No. God's will is accomplished despite rebellious people, even like ourselves. What a picture. What a picture of grace. In the Old Testament. Yes, we're reading from the Old Testament. Aren't we glad that these stories are about God and not about us? See, these stories, these are God's stories. This is not a story about Jonah. Jonah wrote this. And notice, this is how you know that Jonah at the end gets it. I don't want to go ahead of myself. You know, guys from New York, sometimes we can't keep quiet. Don't laugh at that. But I'm saying, sometimes, but at the end of the day, Jonah wrote this book. And this story's not about Jonah. Who's it about? It's about God. So if we want to emulate God's people, we don't talk about and say, look how good I can preach. Look how great I can sing. Look how good of a God we serve. And this is Jonah's picture here. And Jonah doesn't get it yet. He'll get it, but he wrote it, but he's still in rebellion. I just want to reflect this. If I don't reflect this, I don't give the gospel. Because we're in need of the gospel. And if I don't reflect this, shame on me. And I want to reflect something here. I want to reflect how great our sin is before a holy God. And we need to remember what we mentioned last week. Unless we realize, George, that we are lost, we can never be found. We have to realize that we are lost, that we are sinners, Jonathan, only saved by grace, not in anything that we do. If we're God's people, if truly God's people, we'll see the prodigal son, and we can talk to him about that. It wasn't until he was lost that he can be found. And sometimes we have to be lost before we can. Nobody looks for somebody who's not lost. And I think there's a picture of that here. We have a tendency to look at other people's sins before our own. Well, if you don't, I do. Okay? And we do. We have a tendency to say, oh, look at that guy. Be careful. What is it? Ben, help me. We have to take the mote out of our own eye before we can talk about the log in somebody else's eye. We've never done that, right? Well, I have. So I'm repenting right now. And I think those things are important. Jonah will not look upon his own sin as being great. When Jonah was in the belly of the fish, he was as repentant as you can be. God, you're this, you're great, and I love you, and this, and he gets vomited out, and Jonah's going to completely change, right? No. But we're no different. God has put us in positions at times, and we know that we've sinned against the Lord. We know that we've done wrong, and as soon as God gets us out of that position, we forget, or I forget. We've been there, Mr. Clawson, haven't we? We all have. We all have. And I thank God for this book, because this book keeps me, your pastor, on his toes. And it should keep all of us on our toes. Jonah looks at his own sin. Jonah will not look upon his own sin as being great, but because of his self-righteousness, he'll look upon Nineveh's sin as not only being great, but being unpardonable. But I'm here to tell you that we get what we don't deserve. Praise the Lord, Rachel. Praise the Lord that we get what we don't deserve. What a lesson for us to be reminded of how big our sin is and how much we need a Savior. This is a great picture of the largeness of our sin, but a greater God in Christ that forgives us our sins, for who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And Jonah will eventually realize this, but not too late. How do we know? I know I'm already giving my message away from in two more weeks, but how do we know that Jonah realizes this? How do we know? Because he wrote it. He wrote it. There ain't nothing good about, man, if you know us, if we're writing a book about ourselves, oh, we're this, and, you know, I'm the, Jonah, this is a book that Jonah wrote. And there is nothing good in there about Jonah. And everything good about God. When we're witnessing God in Christ, let us bring Christ up here and ourselves down there. Because they'll listen to us, Mary. They'll listen to us if we put the God of the universe first. And this is exactly what Jonah does in this first couple of verses here. And I don't want to be that long-winded. It's hard for a guy from New York not to be long-winded, but I'm trying not to be. The first time Jonah received his marching orders, he went against the Lord's command, but now Jonah set out to Nineveh and begins to enter it. I know that we, don't get me started, but he comes to enter Nineveh according to the word of who? God, not Jonah, not Rachel, the word of God. Our prayer should always be, Lord, there's nothing I can do for you. Get me into something you're doing. And then this is important because we have to be a praying people. We live in tumultuous times, if we may. So we have to pray and ask God's direction of where we need to go, how we're to go about it. I want to make a theological premise here, if I may. In God's economy, he does not use perfect people. Praise the Lord. Jonah is not a perfect prophet. Nor is this pastor a perfect pastor. I'm sorry. And Bob Clawson can tell you I'm not. But thank God he uses imperfect people. What a better example than Jonah. What a perfect example of Jonah. If you weren't Jewish, Jonah didn't care if you were saved or not. And Jonah's a prophet. But first and foremost, what is Jonah, Rachel? He's a sinner saved by grace. First and foremost, let us never forget that. Let us never forget that. Paul talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels and that despite our weakness, despite our sinful hearts, God still uses us. I mean, he still uses us. I when I was in Black Canyon City for 5.5 years, I would get up and say all the time, if I was God, I'd come down here 6'5", you know, tatted down and looking to rebel everybody. But we have a God that comes down from heaven and washes our feet. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding. How far be it how we rebel against the one that came down from out of the great heaven for his people. Paul says we have this treasure that are in earthen vessels and that despite our weakness, despite our sinful hearts, God still uses us. And there's no better picture of that than Jonah. Far be it from me. I'm no different than Jonah. But I love this book because Jonah is a sinner saved by grace that God is going to use. And if it was one of us, we would have took Jonah and says, I'm God, I'm destroying you. But he taught Jonah. You know, for Jonah, it was the belly of a fish. For me, it was a prison sentence. For you, it was something else. And God uses those things. He uses those things. If you're truly a child of God, God does not love you on a curve. He loves you on the finished work of Christ. He doesn't love you on a curve. He doesn't love you because you look, you know, good on one day or bad on another, or you act this way on this way or that way. He loves you on the finished work of Christ. He can't love you no other way because he's a perfect and he's a holy God. And he loves us on the finished work of Christ. And this all points to what, Rachel? This all points to Christ. This all points to Christ. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Larry, I think about this, how Christ's righteousness has been credited to us. You're talking about the God of the universe. His righteousness is credited to you. Where do you get a God like this? Every other so-called or made-up God in this world, Donna, it's what you can do for God and how you have to do him. But in us, it's what God has done for us in Christ. That's why we need once in a while to jump around like Pentecostals. Because really, think about what he did. Mary's saying, yeah, he's onto something now. I seen it, Mary. I seen it. Now, the size of Nineveh is of utmost importance to the divine author. But it was with the theological premise that the original language depicts. Nineveh was a great city, right? But if you know Nineveh, it was only 3 miles long. Did you know that? So there's a different, it's kind of a word group here. The literal rendering could very well be that Nineveh was a great city being known as a religious center. What kind of gods did they worship in Nineveh, Pastor Greg? He taught us last week. The fish gods. They obviously, and Jonah gets swallowed up by a fish. And, you know, God has got a sense of humor sometimes. But you see, Nineveh was a great city, a religious center dedicated to the worship of false gods. But here's the thing, man. If you don't get nothing out of this sermon, get this. We don't know who God's people are. We need to preach the gospel to everybody. Devon, we don't know when God is going to open up that person's heart. Far be it from us. Well, that guy's not a Southern Baptist. We need to preach the gospel to everybody because we never know. We never know when we're going to meet a king of Nineveh. And what he made, and we're going to read about that in a second. We're going to read about that in a second. We don't know who God's people are. That is why we preach to everybody. Who would have thought that a city like Nineveh would have turned towards God? Who would have thought somebody like Dominic would have turned towards God? Be careful when we want to just stay in our own little social clubs, in our own little social areas. We need to preach the gospel to everybody. We don't know who God's people are. I never thought I'd be God's people. And I'm sure some of you feel the same way. You see, Jonah knew that God was merciful. He was kind. Jonah wanted to depict who God should save. But in this case, no matter how evil Nineveh was, God was still merciful. What a picture of grace. No matter how evil anyone is, no matter how evil I was or you were, there is no one out of God's purview. Nobody. Preach the gospel. You never know when God is going to turn around that heart. Paul says what? I plant, Apollos waters. Pastor Greg grants the increase. Larry grants the increase. Arlen grants. No, God grants the increase. Far be it from us, we don't preach the gospel so God can grant the increase. Because I can't grant nobody no increase, but I know God can. And this is an important part of what we got. And I want to, let me run here a little bit. What did Paul say? Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. But no matter what, whether the gospel is preached in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. So Jonah walked a day's journey, and it is this point in the narrative rest. So let the reader ponder. And then comes the only prophecy in the whole book, starting back to verse 4. Then Jonah began to walk through the city one day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay, Ben, this is why So Jonah preached an 8-word message. So Ben is saying, why can't our pastor only preach an 8-word message? All right, Ben. Because now Ben's going to start saying, oh, see Jonah? So Jonah, that was his message. 8 words. Don't laugh, Adrian. That's his message. It says, and he cried, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay, service is over. That's it. That's it. Ben is going like this. Okay, Ben, I'm going an extra 10 minutes. No, I'm only kidding. But listen, that's his message. That's his message. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the great to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne. We all got to get off our throne. We all got to get off our throne. And he rose and he the Bible says that he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. As our pastor, as Pastor Greg has told us this morning, he issued a proclamation. And it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. Both men and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. This is the most... Please hear this. If you don't hear any verse in the Bible, hear verse 9. God owes nobody, before I read it, God owes no one body salvation. Look what the king of Nineveh says. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, God relented concerning the calamity which he declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The only person in the church that did not say amen was who? Jonah. How sad. How sad. How sad. Yet 40 days in Nineveh will be overthrown. 8 words, an 8-word sermon. That's what he preached. No, Ben, I'm not preaching an 8-word sermon. And before Jonah could even finish his 3-day journey, there's a response. And there's a depiction in the language. The whole population, prominent, humble, old, young, tall, short, believed God. And even the animals got involved. Even the animals got involved. I said many times, please hear me on this. There's nothing we can do for God, but when we get into something God is doing, this is the outcome. You don't need the pastor from New York to preach his 35, 40-minute messages. See, Don, I'm getting 35, 40 minutes. See, you don't. When something is of God, it's going to have legs. A lot of times, we try to drum up our own Arlen, our own ways. Seek the Lord. Who can I speak to today, Lord? The Lord will show you by his grace. By his grace. The wickedness and evil of Nineveh had come before the Lord, and they were warned by Jonah of their what? Total depravity. And they recognized their disease. How many people are on insulin? How many people have diabetes in here? Anybody? Okay. Wow. Now, I don't want to say praise the Lord, but one cannot appreciate insulin unless one has diabetes. Now, Rachel, no, I don't have diabetes. So insulin to me is, I don't say anybody have diabetes, you could have the insulin. But watch this. One cannot understand forgiveness unless they understand that they're a sinner. One cannot understand forgiveness unless they understand their sin, and they will understand then their need for a Savior. Sin must not be recognized as something that we can approve upon. That's what the culture teaches us. The culture teaches us sin is something that we can be approved upon, but something that must be atoned for. And I can't atone for your sin, and you can't atone for your own sin. Like Martin Luther tried to do, you know, in 10 below zero, when he was a monk, he says, you know, if I'm out here by myself with no clothes on in 10 below zero, I'll be okay. No, you need the finished work of Christ. And when Martin Luther knew that, he came against the whole Catholic Church. Not that he didn't love the Catholic Church, but he wanted them to see that salvation is of the Lord. So we praise God for men like Luther like that. The king of Nineveh took off his royal robes, got off his throne, sat on the soil, and traded his robe for sackcloth, his throne for dirt. Look at the picture. One great expositor said, "We all have the mind of a king. If you don't, I do." We all have a mind of a king, and we have to don our kingly garments. We got to get just where that king of Nineveh got before the Lord, because we all have a mind of a king. Unless we don our kingly garments, realizing there is only one king, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hear this. We will remain our own king, our own Lord, and our own Savior, and sit upon our own throne. That's the hardest thing for us to do, man, is to get off our own throne. Amen? Come on. It's the hardest thing. We want to sit on the throne. We want to dictate our own lives. That king of Nineveh gives us a picture of true repentance. He even had the animals fast. The animals probably said, "What the heck did I do? I didn't do nothing." Yeah, Ben. But I'm saying, this is a great picture here. And I want to say this. The king declares a proclamation, and what's interesting is the animals have also a part in the divine drama. But to the audience, this should be no surprise, because the animal, the big fish, has a part in the divine drama too. So here you see the connection here. And God takes serious the prayers of his people. Right? I mean, think about that. He took the sailors, Jonah, and now the Ninevites. The Bible depicts the prayers of the righteous avails much. They do not demand God. They don't listen to them TV preachers and on TV to tell you, you know, you demand God. And, you know, God has to do nothing. But if you beg God, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. But he owes us nothing. Nothing. And I think when we have that, and that's the king of Nineveh. The king of Nineveh, his whole life was, hey, in this day and age, he's getting off his kingly garments and this and that. He's saying, this Mercedes and you know, this wonderful whatever I got, my boats, my ships, my cars, they mean nothing to me. It's so hard for us to let go of this world sometimes, Pastor Greg. So hard. So hard. Because we want to be in control. Remember, God is no sorcerer's agent. Just wanting to obey our whims. But we must plead on the mercy of the divine counsel. Perhaps, look at this. This is a king of Nineveh. The original language says, perhaps God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger. It's a turned up nose in the Hebrew. The king of Nineveh realizes that God is burning mad at our sin. This is Nineveh. We know what's going to happen to Nineveh sometime shortly after that. But here we see a great picture of God's grace. I want to close with this. The original language in Jonah's proclamation is 40 days Nineveh will turn over, which Nineveh believed that its destruction is on the brink of happening. Now, the original language is that Nineveh will turn over. My wife is writing this down. You can get it later, Rachel. Now, this is amazing. But in God's mind, Nineveh will turn over. Don't they turn over? They repent. That's the original language in the Hebrew, that Nineveh will turn over. They will repent, they will reform, and God uses the prayer of the Ninevite king to perform what he already decrees. The preaching of Jonah, the prayer of the Ninevites, fit in with the divine counsel of God. What a picture. God doesn't need me. Listen, he doesn't need you. He used a donkey. But what a privilege. What an honor. He did use a donkey in Balaam, right? Oh. Is it my accent that's not good? He uses us by his grace. And it's not that, you know, man, and get this. If you don't want to be used by God, he don't need you. He don't need you. He's got his donkey in the corner if he needs it. You know, and this is, yes, and I think this is really important here, and I want to make my close. I want to make my application for this. It shows the power of God to use prayer and his divine counsel, for which we must not take lightly. Prayer is important. You can see it here. But in today's world, man, I'm tired. Was I running a lot? I'm a little cold still. But in today's world, we see many manifestations of a fallen world. Corrupt governments, drastic weather, intense fighting for world power. But the Bible teaches us that we should long for a city whose builder and maker is of God. Not the momentary world we live in. Nineveh and all its wickedness received this message and changed its worldview. Donna, they didn't change for a day. They changed their whole worldview. No king in those days ever took his garments off because he made himself equal with his people. The reason you wore those kingly garments was to say, I'm the king, George. Bow down. But he took off his garments and he said, you know what? I'm no different than you. Paul said the same thing with the Gentiles. He says, between Jew and Gentile, we all got to come to the saving knowledge of Christ through grace. Through grace. That's my application. My question is, do we understand the fleeting nature of this world? And more than that, the ramifications of turning our nose up at the living God. We must remember that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is more than a mindset. It's a deep theological truth, meaning that you can think it, but are you living it? It's a theological truth that we're all going to be responsible for. And I think it's important to bring that as we close here. Sin is so offensive to God, and what is so bizarre in this text, it was the heathen sailors, the wicked Ninevites, who have now realized the God of the universe. And here's Jonah, the prophet of God, is like mad because God wants to forgive Brother Dominic or Brother Larry because we're not Jewish. I mean, what am I just going to go preach to Italians? I don't even think there's any in Arizona but me and Rachel. I'm only kidding. But I mean, but Adrian will, when does she come back to work? Tuesday, I'll hear from her on Tuesday. I'll duck the women's group tomorrow morning. The encouragement here is we must preach the gospel to all. We don't know who God's people are. I would never thought I would be one of God's people. What we must learn from Nineveh is the deepness of God's grace. We must understand while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But God is not through in this story as we continue in this adventure of Jonah, and we'll continue to see a merciful and loving God as we go on through the following weeks. But I want you to hear this. But we'll also see a God who is sovereign over the universe that he's created, and our responsibility to acknowledge his rule, lest we get left off to our own devices. It's a tough message, man. Jonah's a tough message. It's a tough message to me first. I'm done, Pastor Greg. Greg is going to go up there. But I do, and I know sometimes I don't coordinate this stuff perfectly. I want to get the message out. I deal with these messages every week and stuff. But I do want to say this. If God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, if you today are a sinner and not a Christian, or maybe you're a Christian and you need to just, you know, come up and pray and get to where you need to be, this message is all inclusive for not only people who are not believers, but people who are believers, who have maybe left their first love, so to speak. And that's a little out of context in the book of Revelation, but we'll get in that in a couple of months. But I want to pray with you. And I know the deacons would like to pray with you. So I'm here. Pastor Greg will sing. You want to come? I will pray with you. And then after that, I'll call up for the deacons for the offertory. Thanks, Pastor Greg.